We appreciate the goodness of the Lord tonight. Thankful for the presence of everyone, those we know and those we do not know. Desire those that know the worth of prayer to with real unction in the Spirit. Look to the Lord tonight that He may give good success to the Word of God. We acknowledge the Lord's goodness tonight. We acknowledge that He's a God that never makes mistakes. We believe that His Word is true, forever settled in heaven tonight. I'm glad tonight that we can stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
We can live by it. And then when this fleeting life is over, we can die by it.
Amen.
I'm glad likewise that the rewards of salvation are not always, not all on the other side. There's some rich blessings right in this present world. May the Lord bless us tonight. The subject the Lord laid on our heart tonight was mocking God. So we'd like to consider it in view of the Scripture. May the Lord stir and inspire. May the word of the Lord correct, reprove, instruct in righteousness tonight is our prayer. I'd like you to turn with us to the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 reads, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We realize the word of the Lord has a way of becoming plainer and plainer and more real to us as we encounter the principles of the righteousness of the word of the Lord from day to day. Scripture says, "In thy light shall you see light." We realize as we go along in our experience, the Lord continues to lighten our understanding. So that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Psalm says, "The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows." Well, the Lord doesn't increase in sweetness, but we sure learn how to appreciate His sweetness more and more. One verse says that the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. And so we appreciate the reproofs. We appreciate the corrections in righteousness. We appreciate how the Lord in His love and His mercy would not allow us to go on in our way without sending some of His word to cause us to see ourselves in the light of the truth. Cause us to have time and opportunity to recover, to reconsider, to look at the situation just like it is, to call sin just what it is, and to look at ourselves in a way where we lose our own personal favor. We realize that the way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs our spirits. So may the Lord tonight have free liberty to weigh all of our spirits as we look into the word of truth. When we consider what it means to mock God, we realize we're talking about something very, very serious. The scripture says that God is not mocked. Well, we know people are mocking God every day, but God is not mocked. Amen. Not one individual that ridicules, defies, speaks lightly, mimics, decries, downgrades, makes a sham of what God intended in His revealed word of truth for men and women and boys and girls to live as a holy and righteous standard in this time world, not one of them will have the last say. God is not mocked. I say again, it is a serious matter for you and I to mock God. Now, it does not mean that a man always, or a woman, with a froward mouth, with a boldness and a brazenness, will speak out in a scoffing and a scorning way against God. Sometimes we can mock God in a very tacit and a silent kind of way. Sometimes we can do it in a very dignified way, but yet it's yet making ridicule of what God intended for men and women to live in this time world. Oh, may the Lord bless us and encourage us tonight. We'd like to just read, in case I missed a few little words, I want to read some of the definition: to ridicule, imitate, in sport or contempt, to defy, to make fun of and deride, impertinent or disrespectful mimicry, to sham or make a false pretense. We realize today the greatest mockery that is going on in the world today is in the world of religion. The greatest mockery is not done by little foolish children that are going along and they see a lame man walking along and they go on and try to mimic him. That's not the greatest kind of mockery that is going on. Although we know that's wrong and we endeavor to teach our children, that's wrong and that's evil and that's cruel for an individual to do that. Only by God's mercy and God's grace do all of us have our limbs this morning, and that we have sight, that we're able to hear, that we have a sound enough mind that we can reason with God. Be not deceived. Deceived. Don't allow the information that you receive from your human reasoning to defile and corrupt the pure and adulterated word of God and cause you, rather than to take God's word, rather than to take something sound and infallible that has the very seal of the Holy Ghost upon it, you'll take something that is derived from you and I reasoning with our flesh and our opinions and our desires in such a way that we're actually making a mockery of the word of God. Be not deceived tonight. God is not mocked. Though sentence may not be executed speedily against an evil work, we know for certain that God is still looking down. God is still taking note. God is not winking at evil on any wise tonight. He tonight yet commands all men everywhere to repent. Many times, men and women may go along for years and years, seemingly making a pretense of living for God, making a pretense of what it means to live a real life of godliness and holiness right in this present world. And so, as it seems, because no one grabs them by the collar, because no one openly rebukes them, they may think that it's well, and that some kind of way they have derived at some kind of special personal understanding with God, that the Lord knows all these weaknesses that I have, and He understands me. Me and God have an understanding. May the Lord bless us tonight, dear ones. The Lord is not understanding of anything that is less than a Bible standard tonight. The Lord would have you and I to seek for a real spiritual understanding. Scripture says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I'm glad tonight that every one of us have a privilege tonight of having a real keen understanding of what God's divine and perfect will is for us. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Lord bless us and encourage us tonight. May God help us to realize that we can ridicule God by our very standard of life. We can ridicule the very blood of Jesus and all the work that it is supposed to perform by accepting a standard of living that is less than what Jesus died for. May the Lord help us tonight that we'll not live beneath any of the blessed benefits that the Lord has revealed unto us in His holy word. All right, we'd like to read a little bit more. Turn to the book of Jude. Begin at the 10th verse. We may read quite a bit tonight and trust you'll not be wearied. Trust that you'll just continue to keep a prayer going up before the Lord that His divine and holy purpose may be fulfilled tonight. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts. Now we know the scripture says plainly that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. A man in his natural state, like a heart in his natural state, is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The natural state of man is not such that he is in any kind of condition to receive the deep and the blessed spiritual things of God. Now that man in a natural state can get a revelation of his condition before God. He can get an inspiration of God's love and His mercy and His willingness to reach out and deliver him out of that state of sin. But in a natural state, no man can comprehend the blessings of God and the salvation of God except he's born again. May the Lord bless us tonight. We have many tonight that are declaring one thing or another. Many are coming up with many philosophies and theories concerning religion without having really experimented in their very soul and the very spirit that the Lord actually saves to the uttermost. I'm glad, dear ones, tonight that we not only have a privilege, but the Lord is expecting you and I, and not only to speak of His goodness, but He's expecting you and I to have a life and a testimony to back up everything that we say. You know, the world tonight is full of those that are speaking good things about the Bible, good things about Jesus, good things about the Holy Ghost. But dear ones, it means something for you and I to actually possess the power of God right in our very soul to keep us living sinless day by day. It means something for you and I to actually possess the power of the Holy Ghost right in these beings, to have that foe that is a foe to God in our temple purged out by the power of the Holy Ghost through the blood of Jesus. It means something tonight. I say the devil has taken advantage of every righteous cause and every righteous principle that has ever been set forth in the Word of God and instituted in the New Testament church, and has desired and has succeeded in many ways to defile and corrupt God's eternal purpose for mankind. But I'm glad tonight, dear ones, He's still revealing His truth unto those that are honest and have a desire to please Him no matter what it costs. True enough, the deceivers are waxing worse and worse, but I'm glad, dear ones, that the church of God is still beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. I'm glad, dear ones, that there is a way that is free from sin. I'm glad, dear ones, that you and I can enter into that way, but it's going to take a press. It's going to take a press to get in. And you may as well make up your mind you need a double portion of press to stay in. Amen. And then, Lord, add to it all along the way. All right.
But what they know naturally.
What they know naturally as brood beasts. Those things, they corrupt themselves. Read on. Woe unto them. They've gone in the way of Cain. What did Cain do? He slayed his brother for what reason? He talked about it? No. He stole from him? No. He slew his brother because he was jealous.
that his sacrifice was accepted and his wasn't. Amen. Lord help us. You know, the word is true. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. Amen. All right, let's read on one more. Born in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. Preaching for hire, isn't that right? Amen. Prophesying for hire, for money, for how much you can give me.
Lord have mercy.
Lord help us tonight. All right, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Who was Korah? One that had an insubordinate spirit. An independent, insubordinate spirit that would not be subject to the divine order of God. That would not bow down in his spirit or to anyone or to anything that was like God. And that crossed the grain of his desires to do things as he pleased. Well, is that a new spirit? Did it die out with Korah? Did Cain's spirit die out with him? Did Balaam's spirit die out with him? Well, we'd be in heaven, wouldn't we? Praise the Lord. Well, we know that's not so. We realize these are the very spirits that war against our very soul. May God bless us tonight. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood tonight. What does the 10th chapter, rather the 6th chapter of Ephesians say? Maybe the 11th verse. It tells us what our wherefore actually is tonight. It tells us what it is. Praise the Lord. May God bless us. And the word of God reveals to us where it is. May the Lord help us. May the Lord cause us to realize that the war of Armageddon is in progress right now. We're not talking about something that's going to come at the close of the world, but we're talking about something that is very actively being engaged in right now. All right, what does the scripture say?
We wrestle
not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Take unto you our whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, surely we're living in the evil day tonight. And surely God has provided a way that every one of us tonight can withstand the evil of spirits that would like to seduce and lure and draw us away from the old gospel way. All right, Lord bless us tonight. Let's read a little bit more. Read on.
These are
spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, being themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Read on. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Read on. Beloved, don't you remember the words that were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's good enough. Well, the scripture says plainly here that the Lord told the people of God that in the last time there would be mockers and they would walk after their own ungodly lusts. There would be men and women and boys and girls, those who would receive and imbibe and accept and agree and party with such spirits that would ridicule the very power of the workings of the Word of God, that would not accept that God's Word is such that it is revealed in the lives of everyone that will accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, and that the Lord in His very person will come in and take up His abode right in this flesh and live righteous and holy and godly right in this present world. Those that bring up excuses and look for little byways in the Word of God, look for loopholes, look for excuses for not living a life that the Scripture demands that we ought to live. Those that dream up and think up some other way, those that get a little bit of a knowledge of a Scripture, and because their heart is not in agreement and they refuse to die the kind of death that it takes for you and I to actually display the very graces of God, they compromise and make concessions with the very spirit of the enemy and with their flesh, and they come up with doctrines and theories and they breathe them out. They throw them out as raging winds, and there are enough people that are likewise unwilling to take the gospel away, and so they have a following, and then they get a group, and then they get a building, and then they get conferences going, and then you have the world of religion tonight. So may God bless us tonight. The world is full of seem-right ways, but dear ones, there is but one true way tonight. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You and I, dear ones, are going to have to be born again. We're going to have to be born by the Spirit and by the water tonight. Dear ones, you and I can get inducted into this glorious church of God by no way except we come to the blood. May God help us tonight. We have to come by way of the altar to get in the church of God, praise the Lord. You can't get voted in. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the through the desires of the flesh. You can't get this by wishing. You're going to have to yield to God's word and humble your hearts to the terms of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us tonight. Let's read some more. Turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter. It speaks about these same people. We feel like they're ones. The word of the Lord says that we're to cry loud and spare not. The job of a watchman is to watch. The job of a watchman is to warn. The job of a watchman is to blow the servant, blow the trumpet, and make a certain sound that souls may know how to take warning. We're living in an age when men are deceiving and being deceived, dear ones. God help us tonight. Unless you and I stay down at the cross of the Lord Jesus, unless we humble ourselves to His terms all along the way, we're likely to be deceived also. But the scripture says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. We can't go along with a nominal experience of Christianity and expect to see the Lord's face in peace. And I want you to know tonight, dear ones, there's too many sinners that know enough about what it means to live above this world to know that you're not living exactly like the Bible reads. I tell you, the ones, the world is full of folks that I say have a good profession, but dear ones, it means something to have a real possession of salvation tonight. It means something to know in your heart what it means. Salvation, that word so divine. It means something to know that you've been delivered from the powers of sin. It means something to want to know you can put your foot on the devil and trample over his feet. That you can walk over scorpions and unclean spirits and defy the very powers of hell. It means something tonight, dear ones. May God help us tonight. We don't go along with a fearful spirit of the powers of hell. I'm going to tell you the ones my Lord conquered: death, hell, and the grave. When he died on Calvary's hill, when he rose again, he rose as the Lion of Judah. He's broken every chain tonight. He said, nothing shall by any means be able to hurt you. And I believe it tonight. I know it's so. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, bless God. Bless God tonight. All right, 2 Peter, I want you to read some. Start at the 6th verse and read down some. Turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Read on. Yes. 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 Yes.
For that righteous man wrote among them in seeing and hearing.
Yes.
His righteous soul from day to day.
All right, read on.
Unlawful deeds.
All right.
The Lord
knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them. Did you know there are chief sinners to God? Chief. Remember when he was speaking to the Pharisees? Amen. In essence, is what he said. But then the teacher's standard lower than the gospel standard, and then teaching the men, they would receive the greater damnation. That's what he told them. You know, it's one thing to accept a standard that's not right, but it's another thing for you to be bold enough and go and teach it to somebody else and make disciples.
Amen.
That's another thing altogether.
Amen.
May God help us tonight. Read on some more.
Chief of them
that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, despise governments,
presumptuous
are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not ready accusation against them. Yes, through the 14th verse. Natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not,
shall utterly
perish in their own corruption. Read on. Shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. They are blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart have they exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. I'm going to tell you they're ones, you better, those of you that are in a congregation and living and have a pastor that's endeavoring to nourish your souls. Dear ones, you better allow yourself to be pastor tonight. You better allow yourselves to be so humble that you receive the feeding and the nourishment that comes under the unction of the Holy Ghost. May God help us tonight. Dear ones, it needs something for you and I to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The old devil is able to confuse and to cast down and to deceive unstable souls, those that refuse to accept the purgings, to accept the corrections, to accept God's way of dealing with their heart, and they do not allow their roots to go on down and get a real established experience with God. It means something to ones to settle our life's experiences on the Word of God. It means something when we first come to the Lord to dig deep, dear ones. I'll tell you, may God help us tonight. It's more than come to the altar, dear ones, with a few little old tears. May God bless us. And the minister almost has to dig out of you and pray out of you are some things that you ought to be glad to openly confess. God help us, dear ones. It means something to come to Jesus repenting, confessing you every sin. Dig down deep to the very cause of that old sinful life. Quit making excuses of the environment that you were brought up in. Quit making excuses of the strong spirit that your father and mother had. I want to tell you, dear ones, the scripture says plainly that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither the father the iniquity of the son. God deals with us as individuals tonight. May God help us, your ones, that will not make excuses as we go along in life. The Lord has a salvation that can deliver you completely from the powers of sin. We don't have to be bound by the natures of the past. We don't have to be bound and subject by the spirits that are raging and loose in this world. God help us, your ones, when we get saved. We need to dig deep. Get on down to the foundation, praise the Lord. Get on down to the cause. Get on down to the real substance of the matter. Just now, say it, tell it like it is. I did it because I wanted to. I did it because I rebelled. Because I was stubborn. Because I was stiff. Because I wanted my own way. I'll tell you, you'll get more help from God when you do it that way. You get on down to the rock, praise the Lord. Then you establish something sound. You establish something that you can build on. And you can have an experience that'll stand the judgment shock. And it'll stand the tests and trials of life. All right. Let's read a little bit more. Did you go on? All right, to the 14th verse. All right, that's good. You know, it seemed. Read those first three verses. Maybe everybody may not know who this scripture is talking about. First three verses of this second Peter in the second chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. May God bless us, dear ones. May the Lord encourage us in the ways of truth. You know, we're living in quite an age. You know, it's something. Hear a false prophet. I try to preach a message on false prophets. You know, it's something to see a false prophet. Try to hear preach a message on heresies. Downward heresies. God help us, dear ones. I want you to know God is not mine tonight. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He understands and knows where every one of us are tonight. Lord bless us, dear ones. When you talk about false prophets, you cannot talk about them without talking about the spirit of Antichrist tonight. It seems as the Lord dealt with our hearts about mocking God. He let me know the greatest mockery is the very spirit of Antichrist that's strong in the world today. May the Lord help us tonight. I'll tell you, may the Lord help us and encourage us to realize you can't believe every little bit of spiritual literature that you pick up in a bookstore. I'll tell you, there once some of those little books and literature, that those pamphlets are written by the very same folks that this scripture is talking about. Some of those are written by those that don't know a thing about what it means to be delivered from sin. Don't know a thing about what it means to have a clean heart, pure thoughts all the time. They don't know what it means about, they don't know what it means for a man to go in a crowd and not have a lustful, adulterous spirit of looking around, of seeing which one that looks the best to him. I want you to know, dear ones, God has a people and he has a ministry that's clean and pure and holy tonight. Not only do they teach the truth, but they can tell you to follow me as to follow Christ. We must first be partakers of the food that we give out to others. Lord, bless us. When you hear out in the world today, don't you do as I do. Just do like I tell you to do. Dear ones, that's not good enough. Praise the Lord. We need to be examples of the believers. Lord, help us tonight. May the Lord encourage our hearts along life's way. Turn to the book of 1 John, the second chapter. Let's read a little bit there. You know what a heresy is? An opinion or a doctrine in opposition to the orthodox belief of the New Testament church, which was instituted on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Amen. In opposition to the New Testament church. Opposing. And I want to repeat again, we can do it tacitly, quietly, in a dignified way, or we can do it brazenly and boldly with a proud and perverse mouth. Either way you look at it, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. All right, 1 John, the second chapter. Where do we want to start reading here? Start at the 18th verse. Read on down some.
Little children.
It's the last time.
That you have heard.
Yes.
Come,
yes.
Even now are there many
antichrists.
Many antichrists.
Whereby we know that it is the last time.
They went
out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, you know anybody in any old kind of group with any old kind of name over the door can get up and read this scripture. When somebody has left their little schism and group anyway and doesn't agree with the way they did it, maybe they weren't able to be the big chief, praise the Lord. May God help us. You know, we can use that scripture just as loosely as we want to. Amen.
Yes.
Lord help us. The system and the governing power got so corrupt, had the right name, all right, but it got so corrupt, and the Holy Ghost ceased to be able to be the ruler and the master of ceremonies over the services and over the hearts of everyone, and so they left. And so it's easy for them to get up and speak this scripture out. They went out from among us, but they weren't among us. They went from us, but they weren't among us. But dear ones, you better be careful about how you read this scripture. God is not mocked. God knows those that are His. Amen. Lord, help us tonight. I'm satisfied it's being done in every little old group where somebody falls out with somebody else and goes and find themselves another following, and they start their own group just as corrupt as the one that they left. Amen. But this is talking about Antichrist. Antichrist. An Antichrist can get up and read this scripture. Amen. But you'll never be able to have the unction of the Holy Ghost behind it. You'll never teach and instruct. There'll never be a revelation to the hearts of those that are hearing it. Just exactly what he's talking about. All they get is somebody didn't agree with us. Amen. We're not talking about agreeing with people. We're talking about our spirits blending and harmonizing with the Word and the Spirit. Amen. Lord, help us. Read on some. You have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is in the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise. Yes, to the 27th verse. Even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you.
But the anointing
which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in you. Now, dear ones, this is not teaching an independent spirit of I'm not going to get it from God or myself. If the Lord tells me that it's wrong, then I'll stop doing it. The Lord talks to me just like he talks to you. It's not talking about an independent, stubborn, rebellious, a spirit like that under the guise of religion and the Lord dealing personally with me. It's not talking about that at all, dear ones. It means that unless what we're saying is anointed by the Holy Ghost, it won't instruct, it won't enrich, it won't fulfill the design of God. It won't open up the understanding and give us the comprehension until that hidden life, until the mysteries of godliness that's hidden from the wise and the prudent, but revealed unto babes. May God bless us and help us tonight. Unless what we say is anointed by the unction of the Holy Ghost, and it's a dead letter. May God bless us, dear ones. The Spirit gives life. It gives understanding. It's alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, can come forth, dear ones, and tell you all about what you dreamt about last night. It can tell you all what you were musing about last night. It can tell you just where you are along the ways of life. It can describe to you of your intents, dear ones. You may not comprehend. Your motive wasn't pure, but the Word of God will get right there and make a division from the precious and the vile. He'll cause you to see just where you are. He'll cause you to purify your intents and your motives and see to it that God's approval and unction rest upon your life. May God help us, dear ones. May He encourage our heart along the way. Nobody may know a thing about it, but you and the Word and the Spirit have an understanding about that. And then that makes us responsible for to live up to what God's Word reveals unto our hearts. All right, let's read a little bit more. Turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Read the first 3 verses.
Beloved,
believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in the world in you, praise the Lord, than he that is in the world. Dear ones, we're talking about a spirit, about a life that confesses the very life of Christ, that manifestly declares and makes evidently clear that they have been separated from a life of sin, delivered completely, that they cut loose from the old world, that they have a new way of thinking, a new way of talking, a new way of walking, a whole different disposition of life, altogether, great change, dear ones. Since they're born again, I want to tell you, dear ones, we're talking about a power that went in and wrought a divine work upon the heart and gave us a new heart, took away that stony heart and gave us a heart of flesh, gave us a heart that was pliable, a heart that was sensitive to every trick of God's Word. May God bless us tonight. We're talking about a confession of a sanctified life, dear ones, confessing that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come in and taken off his abode, has purged out the old nature of Adam. May God bless us and purify our motives. May God encourage us tonight to rise. A sanctified spirit is not, praise the Lord, a sanctified experience. It's something real and it's sound and it bears fruit, dear ones. And unless we're bearing the fruit, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we need to take another look at this matter. A sanctified experience is something real. It's something sound. It's a work, dear ones. It's a definite work. It does something that leaves you in a daze and wonder what happened. May God help us, dear ones. May the Lord encourage us along the way of life. There are those that have a teaching about the power of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to know, dear ones, unless the power in you is causing you to live holy every day, it's another kind of power that's taking hold on you. I'll tell you, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues and in jabbers, but it's a holy life lived every day. God bless us and encourage us tonight. That old spirit that's in the world, and anybody can come in off the street and come and carry it for the Holy Ghost. They haven't even been delivered from sin. It's of the devil and from the very pits of hell. God help us tonight. God has something pure and holy. It won't tell you
then go and get a brother so-and-so's wife and marry her and leave her somewhere else. It won't tell you to live ungodly and unclean. You won't slip and curse every so often. I want to tell you, it's a clean spirit, and it'll cause you to live a clean life. It'll cause you to live an honest life. It'll cause you to develop some integrity in you. When nobody's around, when you can cheat a little bit, you won't do it. Praise the Lord. You just won't do it. You won't defraud, not for one penny. You just won't do it. You live upright, honest at all times. You deal justly with all men. And you deal justly with your own soul. Lord, bless us tonight. A lot can be said about that. I'd like to read to you something about the best definition I've read of Antichrist. Maybe it'll enlighten you. I like to read it in comparison, rather contrast. I have a dictionary, and very likely, the editor of the dictionary, under the spirit of Antichrist, may the Lord bless. You know, Antichrist can't give you any real light and understanding of what the spirit of Antichrist is. Praise the Lord. But they don't comprehend it themselves. Well, this particular man said he was an opponent of Christ, especially the great opponent, expected by many to come before the end of the world, bringing evil, but finally to be overcome by Christ at his second coming. Lord bless us. Well, great opponent. I don't know. May the Lord bless. There's a lot of ways to oppose Christ. I don't know how we decipher the great opponent or not. But I can tell you the scripture we just read said that we have overcome them. Amen. Not when Jesus comes, but dear ones, when you get saved and sanctified, you have all the power and victory and authority in your life to defy the very power of Antichrist. To defy every foul spirit, every undermining spirit of the Word of God. Now I want to read you what Adam Clark says on this subject, because I felt it was very enlightening, if you don't mind. He says, any person, thing, doctrine, system of religion, polity, or any community living under an organized system of government, which is opposed to Christ and to the spirit and spread of his gospel, is Antichrist. Even Protestantism may have its Antichrist, as well as popery. Every man who opposes the spirit of the gospel, and every teacher and writer who endeavors to lower the gospel standard to the spirit and taste of the world is a genuine Antichrist.
Amen.
No matter where or among or whom he is found. The heresies which sprang up in the days of St. John were the Antichrist of that time. As there had been a succession of opposition, when it was first published, in the world, so there have been a succession of antichrists. We may bring this matter much lower. Every enemy of Christ, everyone who opposes his reign in the world, in others, or in himself, is an antichrist. But the name has been generally applied to whatever person or thing systematically opposes Christ and his religion. Amen, Lord. May God help us. That's pretty plain. That opposes the spread and the standard of the gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? What is that good news that the Lord brought? Praise God. What made those angels cry out, peace on earth, goodwill to men? Good news, praise the Lord. Sound a trumpet loud and near. Jesus heals the body and the soul, praise the Lord. I'll tell you that once this glorious gospel, when it's lived, when it's preached, will make all the difference in the world, praise the Lord. There are many that are spreading a so-called gospel, but there's no real conversions. There's no real sins being blotted out. There's no real hidden life. There's no real self-denial. There's no real crucifixion.
perfection. There's no real separation from the world, dear ones. I'm going to tell you, when this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in every nation, then shall the end come. Men say, this gospel has spread about the whole world. I'll say, indeed, there have been missionaries and men and women that seemingly sacrificed the comforts of home to go out and preach and minister to souls. But many of them didn't have this pure gospel, dear ones. Didn't have a deliverance in their soul. Weren't able to give the good news just like it is. The good news tonight is that Jesus saves to the uttermost, dear ones. He delivers completely from the world, from the pleasures of this world. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures when the Lord causes you to be born again. I'll tell you, dear ones, you don't have to wane off of the things of the world. There's a complete separation there. You don't grow into it, dear ones. It's an instantaneous action. You're born again when you pay a Bible price. When you confess and forsake your sins, the Lord saves your soul. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, I'll write your name in heaven, praise the Lord, and you become a child of the King, the Most High God. And what else does the gospel teach us? It teaches a second definite work of grace in which there is a cleansing, dear ones. Many are teaching sanctification, but that the cleansing is going on. That's not the sanctification that the New Testament church taught and lived, dear ones. There's a cleansing. There's a foe that's in your temple after you're saved, and it's not subject to God. It wants to have its own way, and it doesn't want to suffer. But I want you to know, dear ones, when you get sanctified by the Holy Ghost, you can say, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want to be. You'll suffer for the Lord, dear ones. You'll suffer in the flesh. You'll be denied. You'll be derided. You'll be set aside. But that won't cause you to turn your back on the Lord. You'll say, yes, Lord, if all men may forsake me, though by thy grace I'll follow thee. I'll go where you want me to go, Lord. I'll allow you to make of me what you have me to be. When the purging process comes and the Lord puts us in the fire, may God bless us. You can sing in the heated furnace. Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining purge the dross away. Till thy glorious image is reflected there and the costly jewels of thy grace I wear. You'll bear the purging. You won't bear it unless you have the Holy Ghost. You'll not be able to bear the purging process that the Lord's going to take you through to cause you to be meet for the master's use. Amen. Well, that lets us know there's a lot of unqualified people out teaching supposedly this gospel. May God help us. What else does the gospel mean? It means divine healing. Divine healing, dear ones. That the Lord not only heals the soul, but he heals the body. You take divine healing out and we don't have any gospel. Amen, Lord. May God bless us, dear ones. You, Lord, are standing on that. Take a little few aspirins and do one thing or another. Use a few remedies. And dear ones, we cease to be the church of God. May God help us tonight. What makes the church of God the church of God? She teaches every righteous principle in the word of God. And she practices everything she preaches. May God help us tonight, dear ones, and encourage us along the way. Antichrist, leave out. They teach a section. They teach a portion. They live a portion of the word of God, and that's not the gospel. Lord, help us tonight. Oh, Lord, encourage us along life's way. All right, I know time's getting away from us. We're going to read a few more scriptures here. Praise God. Lord, bless tonight. All right, we want to read a little bit. Book of Jeremiah, the 15th verse. 15th chapter and verse 15. Someone read through the 21st verse. The spirit of Antichrist. It's in the world. And it's fighting hard to seduce your very soul to lower the standard of holy and righteous living right in this present world. Amen, Lord. There are pressures. It's a pressure that comes on you at the time of prayer when you know you need to die. When you know you need to resign your will to the Lord and say, not my will, but thy will be done. There's a pressure that's put on you and a vision that you get of others that are seemingly getting by without getting down deep and throwing out. Amen, Lord. There's a pressure that causes you to want to compare yourself with yourselves.
Amen, Lord. There's a pressure put on you that you won't be accepted by those that you've learned to love so well if you told the line just like it is. There's a pressure that's put on you that you'll, so to speak, be put out of the synagogue where you might be. You might be. But the scripture says of Jesus, I'm an open door. No man can open it and no man can shut it. No man can pluck thee out of my hand. Lord, bless us, dear ones. We're talking about pressures that come against us to lower a standard of righteous and holy living. The pressure of some supposedly new life that we received. We become more enlightened about that manner. We used to teach it that way. We used to live it that way. But we learn in order to get the masses. You just teach it this way and you get more people into the church. You get more people into your building. May God help us. You'll get more people in the building, but you won't get anybody into the church. God help us, dear ones. Lord, help us tonight. Realize it means something for you and I to lower a standard. God help us, dear ones. I'm going to revert back to our scripture. God is not mocked. When we have knowledge and understanding, and God is going to see to it that we have it. Amen. The one that has never really sit under the pure and unadulterated gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know the Holy Ghost is going to visit that precious soul and talk to him and endeavor to restrain him and open his understanding and cause him to realize just what the Lord is requiring of him. But Lord, if I teach that, half of the congregation will go. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice and another they'll not follow. Lord, if I preach that, a half of my salary will go. God help us. Wife, attorney, you know wife. Lord, now you know it, you know my wife. Lord help us. My children, they'll never get saved. They'll never get an experience of real salvation if you lower the standard. Amen. They'll never get a real sound experience of salvation and be able to tell it to the generations to come just like it is. It's very much of a fact that every generation tends to lower the standard just a little bit. But I want you to know God has always had a people that refuse to bow the knee to Baal. God has always had a remnant. He's always had some that will oppose the very forces of evil and stand firm for God at any cost. He's always had them. He's always had them. You maybe never heard about them. Maybe they came, so to speak, out of the boondocks. Maybe they didn't look a clear-cut and dignified like you thought they should. But they had the truth and the gospel. They were living it. Praise the Lord. And they were standing forward. Praise God. And they sounded the trumpet with a certain sound. And men and women that wanted to live this thing right, they rallied to the call. And they took their stand in the army. Glory to his name. And I'll tell you, dear ones, this old army is still going forward, conquering and conquering tonight. And she's still a flaming fire. And she's burning and consuming everything that will not stand the judgment shock. May God help us tonight. And don't you want to know tonight what is not going to make it? May the Lord bless us. If our works are stubble or hay or wood, we want to know that tonight. The works may be burned, but our soul can be spared. Praise God. Oh, we want our works to abide the fire tonight. Oh, may God help us. If our works can abide the fire of the Holy Ghost and the purging of God, are we going to stand the eternal flames that are going to come upon this old earth one of these days? Amen. Amen. All right, I said the 15th chapter. Jeremiah. Yes, Moses. Lord, thou knowest. Remember me, Lord. Visit me. Yes, you know, Jeremiah, he was in quite a precarious situation. Amen. No doubt you've heard the expression between the devil and the deep blue sea. Lord bless us. The Lord gave him a message, and it was different from every other prophet's message. Lord help us. Kind of a dangerous place to stand in, isn't it?
Yes.
Lord bless us. No human boldness will allow you to do that, though. No human boldness will cause you to stand up and defy the numbers for a righteous cause. May the Lord bless. Only through the power of the Holy Ghost and Him hiding you in His grace can you do that. But the Lord empowered and emboldened Jeremiah. He gave him a message, and He told him to preach it right in the gates. He told him to teach it right before the priests and the prophets and the princes. I want you to let them know, if they will not amend their ways, that I'm going to send a power and a force and an army, and it's going to come in and destroy them and destroy this place and leave it desolate. But you know, Lee was one. They mocked him. They mocked his preaching. Amen. You know what made it so bad? All the other preachers were saying, peace, peace. Oh, no, that's not so. That's not going to happen. Keep on living like you're living. You know, that's what the world is doing today. May God bless the truth heralds forth and lets it be known what it's going to take to live for the Lord, to get salvation, to get an experience that's going to stand and take you through. And then there's always going to be seemingly a majority of a force to come against you and say, it doesn't take all that. It doesn't take all that. You don't have to do all that. It's the Lord. Oh, Mother so-and-so, she didn't do that. And are you going to say that she didn't make it in? Put you in a hard spot. Well, you know what you're going to have to come up with. Mother so-and-so may not have known better, but the Lord is revealing to me, this is what it's going to take for me to see His face in peace. Do you know what a conviction is? Praise the Lord. I believe God is requiring this of me, and I can't. I dare not do anything differently than this. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, bless us. You know, we need more sound convictions concerning this word of truth. We won't soon be moved. We won't be swayed. We won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. All right, we know a little more. Wait a minute, let me finish it. May the Lord bless it. Say, Jeremiah was in such a precarious place because his countrymen considered him a traitor. Praise the Lord. The very people he loved considered him a traitor. Praise the Lord. Because he preached and told them the truth. Seemingly his family was against him. His friends, his loved ones, the high officials was against him. He was seemingly standing in a solitary place. But no doubt, and there were times when the Lord strengthened him like he did Paul. All men forsook him, but the Lord stood by me. I'll tell you, dear ones, the Lord will stand by us when we stand by the word of God. All right, let's read on a little more. All right, read on.
Know that for thy
sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found. I did eat them. Thy word unto me joy and rejoice in my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I said not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced when I sat alone because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fall? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou wilt take forth the precious from the vow, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto me, unto them. Jeremiah was a little sympathizing with himself. Lord, they're all against me, and I'm standing by myself. And it seems I can't bear this coldness that they're bringing against me. Lord, what can I do? Maybe I can make a little concession here and there. And the Lord let him know, oh no, that's not what you can do. You'll not be able to do that. May the Lord bless us. May God help us to realize we can't lower the standard for friends and loved ones. We can't lower the standard for wife, for husband, for children, for money, for wealth. May God bless us, dear ones. Let them return and come unto thee. You have the standard. You have the truth. May the Lord bless us to hold it just like it is and not lower it for anyone. Praise the Lord. They may mock. They may ridicule the word of God. But I'll tell you, dear ones, the only safe place for you and I to stand is on God's word. Praise the Lord. You may be able to be in the biggest number. But I want to tell you, dear ones, big numbers is not God's commendation. May the Lord help us, dear ones. Those that are standing for truth and living for truth are few in number today. Lord, help us. He said, few there be that find it. And it seems that there are few that be that really keep it. But I'm glad the Lord is able to keep that which we commit unto His trust against that day. All right, let's read a little bit more. Turn to the book. Let's see. Turn to the book of Kings. Let me read a little bit there. Will you bear with us a little longer? Pray for us. We want to be able to deliver our soul tonight in the fear of the Lord. 2 Kings, the second chapter. Read verse 23 and 24. Then someone read 2 Chronicles 36, 14 through 17. 2 Kings, the second chapter, verses 23 and 24. And he went up from thence into Bethel. As he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear forth 42 children of them. Dear ones, the scripture says tonight, God is not mocked. I'll tell you, dear ones, we need to teach and instruct our children to have a reverence and a regard for God's word, for God's messenger bearers, for the place of holiness, for the church, for the chapel, for the books, for everything that pertains to the work of God. God bless us and encourage us tonight. If God won't spare our children, how much has He not going to spare you and I ridiculing those things that pertain to Him? God is not mocked tonight. God sent two she-bears out of the woods and tear them up. Why? Because they were mocking Elisha, no doubt referring to Elijah going up. But dear ones, Elisha was glad. He was satisfied. He had received from that a double portion of God's power and of His victory. And so the Lord had fortified him to go forth and to preach the word and to be a witness unto those that he was dealing with, to bring back the house of Israel and the house of Judah and cause them one more time to stand firm for God and to be His children indeed. The Lord emboldened him and blessed him. The spirit of Elisha was of a bolder nature than Elisha was. We never do see Elisha going anywhere and hiding under a juniper tree and wishing that he could die. We never do see Elisha running from old queen what's the name, woman's name? Jezebel. May the Lord bless us. The Lord did give him a double portion. He had a boldness and he had a force behind him. And God worked many miracles in spite of all those that opposed him. May the Lord bless us, dear ones. May we realize it means something for you and I to have a reverence and a regard for the things pertaining to God. All right, read me the other scripture concerning the messengers of God. 2 Chronicles 36. 14 through 17, please. Yes? Yes, would you speak a little louder, please? Would you speak a little louder, please? Yes?
All the chief of the priests.
All the chief of the priests.
And the people transgressed very much.
Yes?
All the abominations of Eden.
Yes?
And polluted the house of the Lord.
Yes?
Which He had hallowed in Jerusalem.
Yes?
And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His
ministry. Yes? All right.
Rising up
the times.
And standing because He had compassion on His people.
Yes.
And on His dwelling
place. Amen.
But they mocked the messengers of God.
They mocked the messengers of God.
And despised His word.
Despised His word.
And misused His prophets.
Misused His prophets.
Until the wrath of the Lord
came against Him.
There was no remedy.
Therefore,
He brought upon them.
Yes.
The king of the Chaldees.
Yes.
Who slew their young men.
Yes.
Destroyed in the house of their king.
Yes.
And had no compassion upon young men or maidens.
Oh Lord.
Old men or young men stood for aid.
All right.
He gave them all into His hand.
All right. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. I say tonight and I repeat again, dear ones, if we are opposed in our spirit to the standard of right, we need to seek God for his blessings to rain down upon us and soften our hearts. May God help us to realize what a dangerous thing it is for us to defy and ridicule the standard of holy and righteous living that God has revealed in his word. It's being done seemingly so casually today. It's being done under such pretense as it's fanaticism. May God bless us, dear ones. What people call fanaticism today is really not just as strict and obedient as the holy standard used to be. God bless us, dear ones. What people call fanatical is just those that are living just a clear-cut a life all out for the Lord. Lord, help us, dear ones. Those are becoming a prayer that are just living a standard. Those are becoming an object of mocking and ridicule that refuse to make a concession with the enemy or anyone else. Whether it's an organized system or whether it's wife or brother or sister or loved one, no matter who it is, they are becoming an object of ridicule, and the very power and forces of hell are coming against them with a pressure that's stronger than ever before. But I'm glad again tonight, dear ones, the Lord said, ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God bless us to take courage tonight. The power of Antichrist is strong, but the Lord is almighty tonight. And he can tread over the power of the enemy and give us victory every time. Lord bless. Maybe we'll stop now. Lord bless us tonight. Lord bless us tonight. I want to leave with you one more thought. In the book of Nehemiah, the Lord gave the burden to Nehemiah of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He got a message as he is a cupbearer for the king that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down and the gates were torn down, and it was a prayer to all manner of beasts, and it was a prayer to all the enemies of the children of Israel. And so the king gave him leave of absence and gave him what he needed, almost commissioned him, as it were, to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But dear ones, I want you to know, at every age, it seems like the devil comes against the forces, the power of the church of God, against the powers of righteousness and truth, and endeavors to tear down and to belittle and to decry of the power of the Lord and the real merits of holy and godly living. But God has always had someone that had enough force and enough vision and to gather forces to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem again. And so it was. God had a man called Nehemiah, and he had a boldness, and he had a burden from the Lord, and he went forth and he gathered some forces. First of all, he didn't tell anybody when he came to the city why he was there, but he just went and took a look and walked all around the walls, and his heart bled inside when he remembered Zion, when he remembered her holiness, when he remembered her truth, when he remembered the righteous principles that saved his soul, that gave him security, that gave him comfort, that gave him peace, and he saw they were all broken down. I'll tell you, the ones, we're living in a day and age when the devil is endeavoring to tear down the merits of every righteous principle in the Word of God. The walls of Jerusalem are the walls of salvation, the walls of victory, the walls that cause us to have an assurance of eternal life when this old world is past. Here was Nehemiah, may God bless, began to gather forces to go and build the walls again, and Sanballat and Tobiah, that were forces of evil and the devil, just the very spirit of Antichrist running that very day. Every effort that's made to lift up a standard and a hold firm and true on God's word, you're going to have some opposition on your hand. I'm going to tell you, when you start living for God and teaching it and living it just like the Bible says, the devil's going to let you know that you're his personal enemy, and he's going to show it in every conceivable way. But God bless us to get some boldness and some fire in this day and age, and realize the walls of Jerusalem Jerusalem have been torn down, and God is calling for people to rise up and sign up and build the walls again. God help us to once. The star standard has been lowered on this side of the country and that. But I want you to know there once God is building the walls of Jerusalem again. May God help us to once. Everyone that was gathered together had a mind to work. They came to once with a sword on the side and a tool in the hand, and they built it the walls. I want you to know there once every breach was brought together there once. The gates, they were built again, so there was one place where the old devil could come in. God is calling for you and I this morning to rise up this evening and stand up and be counted as those that will build the walls of Jerusalem again. God help us tonight. God is calling for us tonight. He's calling from one end of the earth to the other. Men and women and boys and girls to defy the powers of hell and come out of confusion, come out of baptism in spirit and in truth. God is the first in love. And don't bow down to Satan. She will not be moved. God help us. God is the first in love. Rise out of confusion. God, for you and I to join our forces and fight against the powers of hell. Make our praise in the earth, people. Don't lock the standard. Lift up a standard for the people. Oh, God, help us tonight. God, encourage us tonight. Oh, may God help us and encourage us to once. Stand up and be counted for God. Stand up and be counted. Refuse to lower the standard. Refuse to bow down. Refuse to bow down and praise the man. Refuse to bow down to love and money. Refuse to bow down to hard times. Refuse to do it. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, bless us tonight. Lord, encourage our hearts along thy way. Oh, yes, the spirit of mockery is still strong today. You know, when Jesus went into Jairus' daughter, and he came and said, the maid just sleepeth. Oh, she's not dead. They laughed him to scorn. You know, people are laughing to scorn the very power of divine healing. But I want you to know Jesus heals tonight. He heals all manner of sickness and disease. Cancer, it doesn't matter. Dear ones, we need to consecrate. Lord, whatever way you want to take me, I'll bear cancer. I'll bear stroke. I'll bear sugar. Whatever it is, Lord. I'll bear high blood pressure. Whatever it is, Lord. I'll consecrate my life today and tomorrow, and I'll renew it boldly every day. I'm going to trust you while I live, and I'm going to trust you when I die. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. I realize it's foolish to the world, and men are mocking and scorning, but God bless us and encourage us tonight to go forth as valiant warriors of the cross and to realize that Jesus is in the midst, that Jesus is leading his armies along. Oh, glory to God. We'll follow the band. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord tonight. May the Lord encourage us tonight to keep on fighting, to keep on pressing, to keep on believing that God will hear and answer prayer. God bless his word tonight.